Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Well, Chiria, thank you for joining us on Open House.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
Take me back to that day. What's the last pain-free moment that you remember?
My last pain-free moment?
Hmm.
The last good memory, I suppose, before the fire was being at my graduation with Michael and my mum.
What then was your experience of that fire coming towards you? What, take us through the moments leading up to that event.
Oh, well, it was pretty full on, mate. I had my headphones in and I was running and I took them out and I thought I could hear trucks on the highway and, you know, how was I to know that that was the noise of the raging fire?
Sounded like trucks on the highway.
The race course was parallel to the highway after checkpoint 2.
Yeah.
So I thought it was the noise of the road trains.
Yeah.
So I had my headphones in, I took them out, I could hear what I thought were road trains and I kept running. And then, you know, I was probably 100 metres away from flames coming towards me.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sort of had one of two decisions to make. We could either stay on the valley floor, which had a lot of vegetation and spin effects, so we thought it would be perfect fuel for the fire, or it could go up the side of the gorge. But I knew that fires went faster uphill, so we had two options, neither of which were very attractive. I chose to run up the hill. The fire caught me. I was screaming my head off, as you would, and, you know, I can't say if it was 1 second or 10 seconds, but after it had passed, I was in shock, but at the same time, I felt elated to be alive.
And that elation must have stayed with you, perhaps, or at least the book that you've written is called Everything to Live For. So amidst those horrendous pain that and everything that you've been through, what is it that has drawn you to this, to be able to say you had everything to live for?
I suppose because after the fire, you know, I woke up a month later in hospital. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. You know, I couldn't even roll over in bed. And for me, the possibility of getting my life back was just so unattainable. And when my partner, Michael, would ask me if I was happy to be alive, I couldn't speak, but I just thought in my head, no way, mate. I didn't even know why the doctors had tried to save my life. And then I went in the city to surf last year, and it sort of made me pull my head in because I thought, you know, I'm surrounded by friends and family, I'm doing something that I loved, and it was at that point, I suppose, that I realised that life could still be fantastic for me.
Mm.
And I suppose that's why it's called Everything to Live For, because you know, I've got so many things that I want to achieve in life and we're only here once.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm at the stage where I am actually really grateful that I'm alive.
You've experienced the love of Michael and others around you. He never left your side during that process?
No, he's been through my side since day one. He's been at he was at the hospital from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night, day after day, week after week. And it hasn't been easy on us. It's been the most challenging time for our relationship. But at the same time, I think it's brought us closer.
Yes.
And you know what? We're through all the hard stuff now. I've still got operations and everything, but they're relatively minor compared to the ones that I've had before. And I just think it's only been 2 years since the fire. So where will we be in 5 years? And then where will we be in 10 years? You know, the possibilities are just endless.
They are endless. And I think that the example of Michael's love for you is being returned to you, undoubtedly to Michael, but to others as well. Tell me about some of the projects that you're involved with, in particular a big project you have coming up.
Yeah, well, I've got a lot of exciting projects coming up for next year. So I'll be doing the variety cycle from Sydney to Uluru. And Variety is a charity which raises money for kids with special needs.
Hmm.
The other project I've got coming up is I'll be doing the 20K Lake Argyle Swim. And I'll be doing that with my fellow competitors from the race who will also burn. And the last project that I'm doing, I'll be completing a section of the Great Wall of China, and that's to raise money for the charity Interfast. And I found out about this charity because my my burn surgeon volunteers for them on an annual basis, and they provide free reconstructive surgery to people in developing countries.
Yes.
So yeah, I've got a couple of things to do next year.
My word! For people who want to follow what you're doing, do you have a website?
Yeah, I've got a website, www.tareapitt.com.
Tareapitt.com. One final question then, for people who are down, who are facing some issue in their life that for them is, you know, a major hurdle, and they just can't see the end of that tunnel that they're in at the moment. What advice would you be giving them tonight?
Well, there was a couple of things that I used last year to help me stay positive. And one of the things I did was I don't hang out with negative people. So all of my friends and acquaintances that I had who are negative, I've just cut them off because negativity is contagious.
Yeah.
And, you know, you only need to tell one person about something that you're planning to do, and for them to say, oh, you'll never be able to do that. And that just makes you feel really down as well.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I've done to help me stay positive and optimistic.
Well, that's a great tip. Tareah Pitt, thank you so much for speaking with us tonight.
No worries, mate. Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.